Rainmaker FM.
This podcast is brought to you by copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com. Hey there, it is great to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. And I share more writing as well as a complete additional archived podcast at remarkable-communication.com. So I gave a talk last week, and one of the things that I was talking about was the distinction between professional writers and conversion or ROI writers. That professional writers write to make a living, and conversion writers write to generate revenue. And I actually kind of thought that was an interesting idea, so I thought I'd unpack it just a little bit today. So a professional writer is just anybody who gets paid to write, you know, so that would include novelists and screenwriters and certainly lots of blog writers and all kinds of other professional writers. A conversion writer is somebody who's writing to generate revenue. So they're not writing necessarily like, I write some words, you send me a paycheck, and I buy groceries. But I write words, we put those words out into the world. And we hope that they generate revenue, and if they don't, we test, tweak, and adjust until they do. So if you are writing for a living, but that living is not that amazing, it may be that thinking of yourself more as a conversion writer and putting your emphasis in some different places could make a really significant difference in how you're seen professionally and also how you get paid professionally. And that could be, you know, for those of you who are on a team, like a marketing team, or you're a writer inside an organization, certainly for freelance writers, a lot of freelance writers don't see themselves this way. And that really affects the kind of rates that you can charge. And it's even, you know, a significant factor for people writing for their own thing, right? You have a side hustle or you have a full-time business. You're the chief, you know, most important marketer for your product or your service. The things we're going to talk about today are just a little bit of a tip of the iceberg of things that you can do to generate more revenue with your work and not just necessarily, you know, create a paycheck for today. So I've talked before about thinking of writing as a soft skill, I think is really undervaluing it. Writing is how money gets made on the internet. Very little money gets made online without a piece of writing creating a series of transformations. But as a writer, that has to be your intention if you're going to make it work. That intention of generating real business results with the words that you put together, because it doesn't happen all by itself. And a phrase that I've used on this podcast, and I use it a lot on the Copyblogger blog, is a conversion content marketer. A content marketer, you're creating things that are interesting that people want to pay attention to, but you're also a conversion-oriented writer who's thinking about the customer journey and thinking about moving people through to a purchase. So there are some content, you know, gurus or teachers who try to tell you not to sell with your early content. And I think that's probably a mistake. I think if you are creating content, you should sell something with it. But typically, in the early days of your relationship with your audience, it may not be the product or service. There are other things that we sell with content before we get to the point of starting to make an offer. So as a conversion-oriented content marketer, there are a lot of things you can do before you start talking product or service to basically smooth that journey forward. You need to be thinking about things like, what do people need to believe in order to move forward with this transaction? How do they need to change their thinking in order to move forward and make the purchase? Content can do a lot of different things to make a transaction more likely and to convert a higher percentage of your audience to your products and services. So I'm just going to talk about three today that just kind of gets us rolling. Content builds relationships. It can move a prospect through stages of awareness, and it can segment your audience so that you can deliver them more relevant messages. So let me kind of unpack each of those so that they make sense. Relationship building is the easiest one. I think most of us think that this is the job of content, is to build the relationship with the audience so that they will look kindly on us when there is something to sell. People do get to know your company when you create content. They learn about your values. They learn about what goes into making your product or your service and why it's valuable. And they learn about your the way that you do things, the way that you think is the best way to solve their problems. Content is kind of unsurpassed for delivering a feeling of safety. And feeling safe is a necessary prerequisite to going forward with some behavior that might make you a little nervous, like making a purchase. People do not buy when they do not feel safe. And that's even more true for certain kinds of businesses that help people, you know, where they're vulnerable. So businesses that help people with their health or their relationships or finances. When people feel vulnerable, they really have to feel safe in order to move forward with you. And content is really brilliant for helping people have that feeling of safety. It demonstrates that the organization cares about their prospects' well-being. It very often will provide some early wins without the person having to pay. So a lot of times content will move people a little ways toward their goals for free with advice and, you know, tips and techniques, these kinds of things that can help people start to move in the direction they want. And content can also show how other people have successfully moved forward and how they've benefited from that. And these are things like customer success stories and case studies. In the same general vein of safety, when you have a relationship with your audience with content, you can typically afford to be a little bit more transparent and a little bit more of sort of a Dudley Do-Right about your data and privacy policies. You can comply with those really strict data privacy laws. You don't have to try and play any games with that because you have the relationship. You don't just have that single shot to make the sale. And I'll give you an example. It's somewhat surprising to me that in 2019, people are still sometimes opposing things like requiring a confirmation of opt-in for email. You know, the person signs up for your email list and then they have to click something in their email box to say, yeah, it's really me and I really would like to move forward. I think opposing that is generally a mistake. The more scrupulous you are about people's privacy, the more scrupulous you are about making sure that you have earned the right to communicate with them, the higher degree of safety that prospect feels, and that helps conversions. So when you're just super transparent and scrupulous, that comes through and people feel less nervous about doing business with you and about, you know, giving you something sensitive like a credit card number. I also want to talk about using content in your sales cycle, in your whole customer journey, the whole thing, you know, from beginning to end, where people sort of find you, maybe they find a blog post that you promoted on Facebook, and then their journey all the way through to learning about your product, your solution, your, you know, benefits, your features, and then on to making the purchase, and then even beyond that to referring their friends, to making a repeat purchase. So this is the customer journey. This is the whole road that they follow to get to you. And content can facilitate transformations at every step along that path. So we think about content as a top of the funnel exercise to get lots of people to pay attention to our company. And then they opt in for more sales material. But you can get a lot of mileage out of using content to guide people through all of those stages of awareness. So that's the second thing we'll talk about today is the prospect stages of awareness as they move closer and closer to making that purchase. And I recorded a whole podcast on this. So if you point your browser to copyblogger.fm, you can find this episode and I will link to that one so you can find it easily. And the stages of awareness are just moving people through from things like they don't even know they have a problem, you know, then they learn more and more. Over time, they learn about the problem, the solution, your specific product and how you solve it, and then all the things they need to know to move forward. And content, again, can educate them and hold their hand at every step along that path. And that's a very respected, proven copywriting path to make a purchase, especially a purchase for something that's beyond a no-brainer like a new t-shirt. It's very common for content creators, let's say bloggers, podcasters, video channel publishers, to have people who are at many different stages of awareness in your audience. You have people who are just beginning to kind of think about this problem or opportunity, and then you have people who have done a ton of legwork already, and they're just finalizing their buying decision. So commonly, it's smart to, if you have this kind of general audience, we certainly do a copy blogger, you know, put on your editorial calendar a good mix of content that speaks to people at the different places they are today. And then even better, sequences of content they can opt into that will help guide them through that education process so they can move forward with all the information. And again, there's an earlier podcast episode, and that really kind of walks through that whole stages of awareness process. It's a really smart and useful way to think about your audience and think about what they need to know and when they need to know it. And then the final thing I'll talk about today, because it is so powerful, and again, we are scratching the surface. There are lots of things content can do. But one of the things that's lovely that it can do is it can segment your audience for relevance, for more relevant information about their specific problem and their specific way that they want to solve it. So this is where you have blog content, again, YouTube videos, you know, email messages, podcast episodes. If a person clicks a particular link to a piece of content, they click a link to a piece of content that addresses a specific solution or a specific problem. You now know that that person has an interest in that problem and or in that solution. And you can start to send them relevant messages about that without bugging the entire rest of your list with something that's not relevant to them. So if your, you know, content website is about beverages, you know, you write a blog post about green tea, it would be great to tag the people who clicked through to that blog post, let's say from your blog posts by email subscription. Everybody who clicks the green tea post, you know they have an interest in green tea, and that's when you want to send those people maybe a really nice bundle of interesting green tea options that they might, you know, want to explore. The decaffeinated coffee people are not going to want to get, you know, a coupon for your triple caf, you know, extra caffeinated product, right? You can segment by what's relevant to that person, and you know what's relevant based on what they've clicked through to, what they found interesting. Obviously, this requires a couple of tactical things. You have to have a good, robust platform that lets you tag people based on clicks and then send them relevant sequences. And I would also really advise, look at your headlines for that kind of campaign and make sure it's very clear. And you want to do that anyway. You want to make it absolutely crystal clear what benefit people will get from clicking on the link. And that way, when you tag them, you know you're tagging based on a real interest. It's not a good practice in any event to ever be deceptive with a headline. But of course, it would also mess up your analytics because you'd be segmenting on the wrong thing. So all of these are different ways you can use content, again, to support the entire customer journey. And so often what we think of as selling happens at the very end of the journey, right when they're ready to make the purchase, when they're ready to add to cart, when they're ready to complete the transaction. But wise salespeople know that selling is about relationships first and foremost. It is about relationships and trust always, and that selling happens over a long period of time. And realistically, there's only so much urgency and scarcity any of us can muster to push people. It's really actually a lot smarter for most of us to nurture that prospect through the entire journey, to give them content that helps them make key decisions that move them closer to us at the various points in their journey. And then when it's time, yeah, absolutely, go ahead and give them a little incentive. Help make it easy to say yes, but don't neglect that entire journey that leads up to that sale. And before I sign off for the day, a pro tip for anybody who wants to be a conversion writer and not just somebody who gets paid to put words together. Every piece of content needs a call to action. So every piece of content you create should have something you are asking people to do. And those calls to action always depend on the stage of awareness. So you don't ask somebody to buy a product if they're still kind of figuring out what their problem is. Instead, you would have a call to action to find out more about different ways they could solve that problem. And of course, the wonderful thing about digital organizations is that clicks can be measured. And we can look at these clicks, we can start to say, in my customer journey, I'm getting a really, really great response here, but they seem to be falling off at this stage of the journey. And you can create content that helps build that bridge and helps make it feel safe and comfortable to move forward and all the way through. All of your content is persuasion copy, or at least it certainly could be. So go for it. Get some more persuasion and some more revenue generation into your content. If you feel so moved, you could swing by copyblogger.fm and let me know how it's going. I would be just tickled to see your comments and see what you're doing with this stuff. Thank you all. Take care. Catch you next time.